All right. Well, good morning, family. How are we doing today? We are celebrating 8 years as a church today. It's an amazing day to be here. Thank you for joining that. Some of you walked in and you saw our amazing decorations and you're like, these people, what have they done? And some of you get it. All my office fans understood what was happening. If you haven't seen the office, you're just like, this church is falling apart. This is just a bad day. Anyway, it is our birthday, and we are just so thankful for you to be here with us. You know, just every time we get to come to this time, we just get to reflect. And I just look back over all the life change that God has done in 8 years' time. And sometimes it's a bit overwhelming just to think about you know, the relationships and the connections and the marriages restored and people pulled out of addiction. And I'm blown away by all of it, and that I get to be a part of it, and you get to be a part of it, and I think at the end of the day, when we go, God's not done yet, right? He's still working, he's still moving, he's still transforming. One of the things like that fills me up is our baptism Sundays. We've had 34 baptisms this year alone, 34 baptisms, and I was like, man, like, God, like, I just, seeing people connect to God, connect to his word, and give their life to Jesus, and take that public step, it's an amazing thing, and I'm loving every minute of it. I love what I get to do. Does it have its challenges? Yes, but every day I go, it's worth it, because what we do is eternal work, and so I'm just glad to be here. Glad to be here with you, celebrating with you. We're going to dive right into part 7 of our series, Removing Brain Rot. Been a phenomenal series, and you know, I've been thinking deeply about the power of our devices. I've been thinking, like, you know, even just the way that this image was set up and what our devices do and what they can cause and how our devices, like we've talked about, how our devices kind of penetrate, right? Penetrate our hearts, penetrate our minds, and our devices and the content within are giving us different beliefs and sort of all sorts of ideas and varying amounts of information, some true, some not true, some we're not even sure, but there's good and there's bad. And then, of course, we've talked about just the various temptations that come from our devices and the various idolatries that can come with them as well, and how, like, what I'm realizing, and I hope that you're realizing, is that continued usage or overconsumption over time of the same things begins to then sway our actions, our thoughts, our habits, our words, our lives, our relationships, and if we allow them, they can even begin to sway us in our faith. What I came to the conclusion of today is this, is that our lives reflect what we consume and what we allow ourselves to be exposed to. And so as the light of our devices penetrates our space, right? And it's penetrating a physical space, it's penetrating an emotional space, a mental space, a spiritual space. What begins to happen as we begin to immerse ourselves more in our devices, we begin to reflect the image of culture over the image of our Creator. And that's what we've been talking about, like being mindful of that, understanding what this is doing, what we are exposing ourselves to, and how it is attempting to pull us away from what God has for us and wants to do through us. And so this is a you know, just a big thing that we got to continue to, you know, look at and begin to continue to inspect in our lives. I've been personally, I've been studying over the last couple of weeks the Gospel of John. I love all the Gospels, all four of them, but the Gospel of John's my favorite. Anybody else like John's Gospels? Like the jam is the bee's knees? Yeah, bro. If you haven't read the Gospel of John, go read that thing, bro. It's so great, and I love it. And so I'm always just, I love getting into it. And so this app that I use is like, we're going to do a study on John. I'm like, yeah, we are. Anyway, and what I love about John's gospel and even John's letters, there is this like deep and rich and symbolic imagery of light and darkness just all throughout. And it's just powerful. I've always been just drawn to just the power of light and darkness and how light fills the space and then what that means for each of us. Let me just share Kind of to set up, I'm going to share some passages from John, and we're going to keep looking at passages from John, but I kind of want to set up where we're going for today. In John 3, verse 19, it says, "The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed." And so, you know, John comes out and he's, you know, if you read John 1, he's talking about how Jesus is the light of the world and he came to be the light of men, and how even though the light of the world has come, people are still desiring to live in darkness over light, to live condemned over living in freedom that comes from Christ. Fast forward a little bit, you get to John 8, verse 12. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I think this is it. Like, we want to walk in this space. We want to walk in his light. We want to step out of darkness, out of sin, and into freedom and hope and joy and peace that is found in Jesus. And so as I wrapped up my devotional time on Thursday morning, this question came to mind. What do our lives reflect more? Exposure to our devices or our exposure to Jesus? That was fun. Exposure to Jesus. Sometimes you got to really enunciate these things, otherwise you get all twisted up. So what do our lives reflect more? And so, you know, as we get into this theme of light, let me begin to just think about all the varying purposes of light and the things. And there are so many powerful themes about light. But I go, at the end of the day, what light does is it comes in and it exposes anything hidden in the dark, right? It extinguishes the darkness. When light shows up in a dark space, darkness flees. Darkness dissipates. And as long as we have the light, we are then not overcome by darkness. And so what that means is that, like, from these passages in John and a few more that I'm going to share, we have to realize that if we want to continue living in the light, that means we must stay connected to the sources of light. And as we remain connected to these sources, our sin's going to be exposed. Praise Jesus for that. We don't like our sin to be exposed, but as we remain connected, our sin will be exposed. And when our sin is exposed, it cannot grow and thrive anymore in our lives. And so that's why there's got to be continual light flooding into our lives. John 1:5 says this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it." And so I think in your life, like you say, I'm feeling overcome by stress. I'm feeling overcome by anxiety. I'm feeling overcome by depression. I'm feeling overcome by addiction. What light is coming into your life? Are you moving towards the light for your sin to be exposed, or are you retreating more into the darkness so that sin continue to condemn you? And this is what we're talking about. We've got to move towards the light, because wherever the light shines, darkness retreats. Listen, darkness cannot argue with light. It can only disappear in its presence. And what a powerful statement that is. But I also want you to know, so like light, one of the purposes is exposure. But it's not just the exposure for the sake of exposure. It's like, hey, I'm showing you your sin. Okay, you see it? Good. Okay, just keep living in it. No, the reality is it's exposing what's there so that what's there can be removed and we can move on from it. So it's light brings exposure and then it brings transformation. Light's not just exposing what's wrong. It's leading us to what is right. And so that means the purpose of light is not just to expose sin, but its purpose is to transform the space that it fills so that we can begin to live in light, in freedom, and not in darkness. And the other thing, too, is like Jesus doesn't just call his followers simply to avoid darkness. It's like, oh, there's a dark corner. Stay away from that. He calls us to walk in the light. And the reason he calls us to walk in the light as he is in the light is because he doesn't want darkness to overcome us. And so we continue to stay in the light, right? Walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's 1 John 1:7. And as we walk in the light with Jesus, it also talks about how we are able to walk in the light with other Jesus followers. And so if I'm walking in the light, and this is what my whole thing's about, I'm reflecting the light of Jesus. And then as I walk in the light with other Jesus followers, they're reflecting light. And guess what? The more light that's reflected, the more that darkness retreats, the more that sin is exposed, and the better we can be in Christ. And it's a powerful thing. And so today, I want to kind of contrast that. The light of Christ, right? This true source of light with the light of our devices. And we know this, and we've talked about this. Our devices are a means by which we can connect to Jesus, right? But at the same time, I think the other trap is that our devices can bring darkness. It can infiltrate our life with evil. It can bring in false ideologies, false teachings, false beliefs. And we have to continue to shine light on those things. Again, going back to the question, what do our lives reflect more? Exposure to our devices or exposure to Jesus? Are we living in the light of our device or living in the light of Christ? What are you exposed to? And then really begin to think about if what I'm exposed to, I'm then exposing others around me to. Because again, you reflect whatever you're exposed to. So what am I exposed to, and what am I exposing others to? What am I consuming, and then I'm helping other people consume in their life? Because at the end of the day, we're all reflectors of something. You and I are all reflecting something. Whatever we're consuming, whatever we're exposing ourselves to, whether we realize it or not, our lives reflect the source that we are most exposed to. And so that becomes the question. What is that for you? And I was thinking about this, and you know, this happens in many varying ways, depending on what you're consuming and what you're exposed to. Me and my wife have recently been watching a show called Elementary. Anyone watch the show Elementary? It's a show about Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Very good. It's just like detective stuff and deduction and figuring out these wild crimes. And Sherlock Holmes is like able to see things, observe things, deduce things. And everyone else feels like an idiot when they're around him. Anyway, that's the reality. And so, like, we've been watching this thing, and we're on, you know, season 6 of 7, and, you know, just the more we watch it, the more we begin to examine and inspect everything around us the way that Sherlock does. And we're, like, walking around, and we're like, I think they just stole something. That person robbed a store. I'm pretty sure that guy over there is a murderer, right? And he's like, let's begin to, like, inspect what's going on. I'm going to watch their body language, and I'm going to examine the things that they're are they shifty? Are they twitchy? Like, what's going on? Why are they doing that? Who's around them? What's going on? And you just begin to look at the world in the way that Sherlock does, and it's overload. The other day, I'm sitting here working, and I get this text from my wife with a picture. You guys can put that picture up. Yeah. And she says, babe, this guy just got out of his car and picked up a murder weapon. And she goes, and there's a logo on his shirt. I think he went back to claim the murder weapon. He is the murderer. And the logo on his shirt, we can figure out where he works. And then we can begin to do our, you know, inspection and figure it out. I'm like, you're right. I think you're right. And I began to look at the ground around it. And we're looking for blood and how the blood was splattered. And like, what was the angle of the weapon murder? But then I'm like, why would a murderer just walk across the crosswalk and be like, you know what, this is a good place to throw this thing. And then he thought about it later. He's like, that's a bad location to hide a knife. Apparently, my kids in the car are like, there's blood on the knife. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so we're like, this is where we're living. But it's kind of a funny way to think about like how the things that we're consuming and that, you know, we are exposed to begin to kind of affect how we think and interact with the world around us. And of course, you can think about all those ways and the good ways and the negative ways that infiltrate our lives. And again, it's going back to like, what are we exposed to? What are we consuming, and what is it reflecting? And so we got these two competing sources of light that I want to kind of talk about today, kind of just expound on today, these sources of light that are shaping our reflection. Of course, we got this divine light. It's supernatural, it's transformative, and eternal. It's the light that we want to be connected to. It's the light that brings life and healing, and it's just something that it brings hope in our lives. And on the other side, we have device light, where it's artificial, it's superficial, and it's temporary. Both fill the space around us, both illuminate something, but only one transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. And so we're going to examine these. Well, first, we'll look at device light. right? It brightens our faces, and oftentimes it can dim our faith. And I've been talking about that, how overconsumption of our devices can keep us from connecting with God, connecting with others, and learning His Word. It imitates the divine light and what the divine light can give, but without depth, without substance, without the Spirit. And so we have these, you can go to the next one, these device lights, artificial and superficial. And so first we look at, it's just followers, where we get on social media and we want followers and we're following people, and there's this digital connection that's created. We're creating these digital relationships because at the end of the day, we crave to feel, be seen and known. And at the end of the day, what this does is it creates counterfeit relationships. Oftentimes it's on the surface, oftentimes it's shallow. We love to go on social media and show the highlights of our life. At the end of the day, we're like drowning and we need help, but we don't want people to know that. And so anyway, we have this counterfeit relationship. It's connection without communion. And we talked about that last week. It's proximity, but without presence. And so it's a counterfeit connection. And then of course we get into the notifications. We talked about this in week two. And within the notifications, like, we want to find our identity in how people are connecting with us and perceiving us. At the end of the day, we want them to validate us. We're seeking their approval and affirmation, right? And we long for that. And we begin to take on this counterfeit identity based on the opinions and beliefs of others that they have of us. And guess what? Those opinions and beliefs, they go like this. And that means our emotions and our identity goes like this. And we're not meant to find our identity in our notifications or social. It's temporary and it's fragile. It'll be ever changing and it'll never fill you up. Then we get into the trends and the influencers of our day, right? The digital inspiration, the things that go viral. Like, we want to be inspired and we want to be purposeful and feel purposeful. And at the end of the day, some of this stuff that we cling to, we look to, we aspire to do as well, it mimics transformation in our lives. Other people are doing things, and we say, well, maybe I can do that too. Maybe that's what I need to do, but that's not who you need to be. It begins to change your image based on what's trendy and popular at the time, but it's ever changing. It's not giving you or developing your character. It becomes performance over purpose. You can go to the next one. And then, of course, we get into AI and search engines. This is digital information. We live in the information age. Like, we are just being bombarded with information. We have too much information. There's too much information being brought to us from multiple different ways, and we are barely able to even process what's coming across. And so because there's so much information, we get it and we say, I guess that's true, good, move on to the next thing. I'm gonna accept that, and then I'm gonna accept this thing. And we don't really take time to chew on this information, to understand this information, to see where this information is coming from, to find the context of the information. It's just information overload. And also, because of the advances in technology, we are able to rely on AI to think for us, right? We know everything. I say we know everything because someone asks a question, we'll be like, hey, Google. We don't even say it. We just let Google answer for us. And this is where we're at. And we do hunger for truth. We do hunger for knowledge. But what this provides is counterfeit revelation. It's giving us information. It's data without wisdom. It's facts without faith. And then lastly, there's entertainment. Of course, we go to social media for kind of a digital escape, right? To numb us, to pull us out of reality, to step away from the worries and the problems and of our life, and we go to entertainment to find rest, to find peace. But those things are meant to be found in God. And you can begin to see how it's a counterfeit. All it does is distract us from what's happening, whereas God delivers us from the things that are going on in our lives. And so we have device light. And for each of us, it's gonna look different, and we're gonna consume or be exposed to different things, but What is it causing to reflect in your life and in your relationships and in your work and in your environments? Then we get to the second source of light, the divine light, the light that originates from God and it reveals to us and connects us to His nature, to His plan, to His word, to His truth, and ultimately to His people. And so divine light is supernatural. And it's transformative. And we start with God because God is the creator of light. But God created us and all things around us so that he could have relationship with us. God wants to connect with us, and so he creates us for relationship with him. And we get to know him personally, and as we get to know God and be in relationship with God, he is reflected on us. We become, you ready for this, images of God that reflect our creator out to the world. It's a powerful thing. But what we know what happens is sin comes into the world, right? And creates this barrier, drives this wedge, where sin keeps us from being that reflector. And so there's this plan where Jesus is sent to the world as God, as the Son of God. He takes on human form and he defeats sin on the cross so that you and I can be forgiven and our relationship can be restored with God. And so in Jesus, the light of the world, we then begin to reclaim our identity that is meant to be in God. It's only in him, it's only through him. I want to read to you these passages from John. John 1, 4, 5, life was in him, and that life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness cannot overcome it. John 8, 12 says, then Jesus spoke, I am the light of the world. Right? Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light in the life of men, the light of life. And this is for all men. And so God creates us for relationship, and then Jesus redeems our identity, and it's a powerful thing. Two sources. Let me get to the third one. Right, because Jesus was here, he did the work on the cross, and then he said, I have to go away and I'm gonna send you someone else. And so the Holy Spirit comes down and he becomes the indwelling light source within us. Because as we give our lives to Jesus, he promises the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and it's in conviction that we find change. And so that Holy Spirit is constantly with us, shedding light and exposing the sin and the darkness in our own life. He's a counselor, he's a teacher. Reveals the truth. He reminds us of what Jesus did and why Jesus did what he did. And then we also have the Holy Spirit's power so that we can go out and be witnesses to the rest of the world. What are we doing? We are bringing in the source of light so that we can reflect the light out into this world and bring hope into a place that is hopeless. And so we have the Holy Spirit within us. The next one, you can go to the next slide. We get to the Bible, the Word of God. This isn't just information. This is revelation. It's transformation. God's word was given to us, right? Inspired by him to help us know the truth of Jesus, to know the character of God. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So the word of God becomes this source of light in our lives, and it transforms us. And then finally, we get to the church. This is a community of light. I talked about this a little bit. Each and every one of us reflecting the light of Jesus, our Savior, and how as we become these communities of light, there we find edification. We find encouragement. We're not seeking to escape what's happening or escape our reality. We are seeking to come alongside one another so that we can build one another up to be more like Jesus, not more like the world, not to be left in our darkness and in our sin. And so Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light, and you'll begin to experience the fruit of this light. There's godliness and goodness and righteousness and truth. Matthew 5:16. It goes on and it says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and then give glory to your Father in heaven. And so as the church, this community of light, we're called to reflect the source, exposing sin, extending grace, building one another up. And that's what it does. The church really is many Jesus followers connecting to the source of light in all these different ways, reflecting that light out to become a beacon of hope in a dark and hopeless world. And then we get to help Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God expose sin and extinguish sin. First, it starts with us. But as we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to do the same for those people around us. Amen. And so our light given off to others helps others extinguish and expose the sin in their lives. Now, I was thinking about this, right? You know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I just got to thinking about the varying pastors men of God who have spoken into my life. And like the more I thought about it, like the list just kept going and going and going and going. And I'm so thankful that these men, at some point, that they were exposed to the light of Christ. And as their sin was exposed, they left that. They stopped living in darkness, began living into the light, and they began to pursue the light of Christ, continuing to walk in the light of Christ. And then out of them came the reflection of Jesus, which then was able to expose my sin in my life so that I could do the same. And I've experienced that all throughout my life where, you know, they have shown me grace where I shouldn't have got it. They have equipped me and encouraged me and empowered me when I didn't think I was qualified to do what God was calling me to do. They come alongside me in moments of hurt. They've watched me enter into sin, but held me accountable to say, we're not going to live in that. We're going to come out of it. And they've helped me become the man of God that I could be. And so now the light is in me, and I get to reflect. For the last 8 years, I've been able to reflect the light of Jesus over thousands of people. And we get to see the life change. We get to experience. But it's not just about me reflecting the light, because really the power lies in the body of Jesus, the church of Jesus, the community of Jesus, each individual reflecting the light that has come into their life, that has exposed their sin, brought them out of condemnation, and led them to hope and freedom and new life in Jesus Christ. And it's all about this community of faith and believers. And it's a powerful thing, the church. We gotta be willing to join each other, to come alongside each other, to expose each other's sin, and not condemn one another, but to help each other pull out of that and begin to understand what God's word calls us to and Jesus' word died for. And so, man, in these moments, like, we have these two competing sources, right? You have the superficial device light, and what that is, it flickers, it flatters, it distracts. It distorts truth, and most of the time, this device light, it's all about glorifying self. On the other side, we have the supernatural divine light. It exposes sin, it heals, it transforms, it speaks truth, but the most important thing is it glorifies God. And so every light has a source. Every source creates a reflection. Every reflection tells the truth about what you're most exposed to. And so that's the question that we've got to answer for ourselves. Early on, I shared that light exposes, right, what's hidden in the dark. And I shared a passage, John 8:12. Jesus declares, I'm the light of the world, right? And in me, there's no darkness. And right before this proclamation, do you know what Jesus did? Do you know what took place? There was a moment where the light of the world exposed sin in the lives of people. And so we get to this story in John 8, verses 3 through 11. I'm just going to give you a synopsis of it. It's the story of the woman caught in adultery. And so what happens is the scribes and the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of the time. They're threatened by Jesus. They don't like this new way. They don't like the things that they're saying. And so they bring this woman caught in adultery, and they're trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to say one thing or another thing so that they can arrest him. Instead of condemning her, you know what Jesus does? In verse 7, he stands up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first one to cast the stone." One by one, her accusers leave, convicted by their own conscience. And then Jesus turns to the woman, not to condemn her, but to forgive her, and then call her out of her sin to live in the light of Christ. And so you look at this story and you go, whose sin did Jesus, the source of light, expose? You ready for it? Everyone's. Everyone's sin was exposed in this moment. They were trying to just focus on one person. And Jesus goes, you are not exempt from this. You want to condemn her? Then you better start with condemning yourself. And so the light exposes the sin. First in the accusers. But he doesn't ignore the fact that there is this woman who is living in sin, and so he calls out the sin of the accused. He invites her to leave the darkness, and he says, now go forth and walk in the light and not darkness anymore. And I want you to understand, being close to the source of light will always expose your sin. It will. If you're going to be around Jesus, you're going to be around Jesus' people, you're going to read the Bible, then guess what? Your sin is going to be exposed. We don't like that. We don't like being exposed. We often avoid going to the source as deeply as we should or as much as we should. As a matter of fact, we even avoid reflections of the source, other Jesus followers, because we're afraid even their light being reflected from Jesus will expose the sin that we have come accustomed to living in. And so we push away. This, you know, recalls John 3:20. Everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. And I think this is the tension we all live in. None of us wants our sins exposed because we know the more that we are surrounded by the sources of light, right? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's word, and the church, the more exposed our sin becomes, the more conviction that we feel, and the more we feel that pull away from darkness and into light. And so we don't want the exposure. Because I think we go, well, everyone's going to judge me. Everyone's going to condemn me. And the most important thing that we got to see in this story is that Jesus doesn't condemn us. He condemns sin. Jesus' light isn't meant to shame or guilt or condemn. Jesus' light is meant to expose our sin in order that we can be freed from the shame and the guilt and condemnation that sin has brought into our life. And there's a big difference. Darkness and sin want you to stay and feel condemned. They'll even lie to you and say, don't let anyone expose you because they'll condemn you too. And if we are really truly followers of Jesus, right? And we go, Jesus is forgiving. Jesus is graceful. Jesus is someone who sees the person and not their sin. Anyone who comes to us, we shine the light of Jesus and say, we get it. Because I'm just as much a sinner as you are. And Jesus didn't condemn me and I don't condemn you. So I understand. Sometimes we push away from the sources. But the very thing you're pushing away from is the very place where you can find freedom. It's in his word, it's in his spirit, it's in his church, it's in other believers. And again, that battle, that tension between your flesh and the spirit, it's going to happen. You need to shine more light on it so that other people can come around you and help you be brought out of it. We need continual exposure to the light of the world, so that we don't walk around in darkness, feeling condemned by our sin. In Ephesians 5, it says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Amen. And it goes on and says, walk as children of light. And you'll see this fruit, right? It's goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 11, it goes on and says, don't participate in fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. So that means you and I that have surrendered our life to Jesus, have surrendered our sin to Jesus, have recognized what he did to bring us back into relationship, to restore our identity in God, we are called to reflect the light and truth that he has given us. And you got to understand, in this world, we're going to continue to be exposed to the light and life of truth, right? At the same time, we will continue to be exposed to the counterfeit light of culture. It's going to do all that it can to draw us away, to get us to live in condemnation, to get us to live in darkness, to dim the light that we have found in Christ. And so we've got to continually fight against that. Amen. So if we believe this, right, we reflect what we are exposed to, and we believe that in turn our reflections will then affect our relationships. The question for you, as you examine your life, what do your reflections reveal? What do they reveal about your speech, your actions, your reactions? What do your reflections reveal about your work and about your relationships? And this was everybody. Think about just what you reflect back to your spouse and to your children, to other family members, to coworkers, and even to complete strangers. Does your reflection reflect the light of Jesus? Or is it something else? You know, I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking, okay, We've got to offer ourselves some grace in these moments because our afflictions can't always be that of Christ, because at the end of the day, we're not him and we're striving to be him. But if we can look and say, if we look at our life, we examine our life and we say about 70 to 80% of what comes out of me, of what people get from me is kind, is compassionate, is courteous, is supportive, is encouraging, is engaging, is loving, is hope-filled. If it's 70, 80%, then there's a good chance that I have continued to allow the different sources of light to fill my life. Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Bible, and even his people. 70, 80%. Because we're not always going to be kind. We're not always going to be patient. But the difference is we recognize that and we try to do better the next time. And so if that's you, awesome. It's wonderful. Continue to work on another 20 to 30% every day, because you're going to have to. But then if you go on the flip side, if 70 to 80% of what reflects out of me is short-tempered, ill-tempered, anger, greed, envy, contention, it's, you know, prideful, it's insecurity, it's demeaning, it's impatience. If you look and you really go, that's more of what comes out, then there's a good chance that you have cut yourself off from the source of light. For whatever reason, you are pushing out the light. And as you push out the light, guess what happens? Darkness overcomes you. When you allow the light in, darkness has to flee. And so maybe that's where you're at today. I don't know where you're at today. But I want to continue to examine my life, the things that I consume, the things that I'm exposed to, so that what flows out of me looks less like me and more like Christ. And I think that's where we all need to get. Church, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes. And I go in this moment, we thank God for his love, for his grace, for seeing us and loving us and not our sin. He loved us enough to come down to us to rescue us from our sin. He does not condemn us in our sin. And for you, for some of you today, you've realized that hope, you've found that hope, you have experienced that light, your sin is exposed, was exposed, will continue to be exposed, and you are grabbing onto that and you're running with it. And out of you, from the overflow of your heart, comes love and joy and peace and encouragement and compassion and accountability. If that's where you're at, I'd say today, right now, thank God for what he's doing in your life. Amen. And then ask God for more. Say, God, continue to make me more like your son. Continue to give me opportunities and ways that I can help other people connect to the light, that I can help other people have their sin exposed so that they can be pulled out of the condemnation of sin and into the freedom of Jesus. Thank you, God, for who you have made me to be through your son. I'm better because of him. If you're on the other side of it, I think you really got to begin to look. Have you actively pushed away from the light? The sin that has gripped you, has a hold of your heart and mind, has lied to you, you've believed it, and you're living in that darkness. You've been exposed to the light before, but for some reason, for whatever it was, maybe it was a tension, it was a turmoil, it was a transition that happened in your life. For some reason, you went back to your old way. Jesus says, you don't live in darkness anymore. You are a child of light, live in light. If you've been pushing away from him, pushing away from his word, pushing away from his people, today's the day for you to allow the light to come back in. Will it be hard for your sin to be exposed? Yes. Will you be better because of it? Absolutely. Maybe for you today, you've never let the light in. Darkness, sin, condemnation has been your story for too long. Today, I would say God is calling you out of darkness and into his glorious light. Jesus died for that sin that the enemy has you living condemned in. That is not where God wants you. That is not where you belong. That is not where you're going to find purpose. God does not condemn you. He condemns your sin. Today's the day to leave it in the dark and step into the light. Recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Recognize that he died on the cross for your sins, and he defeated both sin and death when he rose again 3 days later. Let the light come in so that the light can be reflected out of you. God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all you're doing in us and through us. God, may we, as your people, as your church, be a beacon of hope in a dark and hopeless world. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.